coordinator for it. And we work with men who were in the position I was at the time, men who have a painful experience of abortion loss in their past.
Mm-hmm.
And we help them find healing from that. That's the whole point of Project Joseph, is to relieve the pain, the grief, the suffering, and help men find the peace that God wants them to have.
Yeah, and you know, I've often seen women say, you know, there's some of the women celebrities who have had abortions. It's almost like they celebrate their abortion, and it didn't impact me at all. And I always find that hard to believe, because a woman, of course, carries the baby in her womb for 9 months, and it seems very, very hard to believe that. Yeah, of course, with an abortion, she doesn't carry it that long, but it's still in her womb for a period of time. It just seems unrealistic that you're not going to have some kind of bond. But with men, there is a little bit more detachment, at least physically, from the baby. Talk about the different dynamic of a man and his response to a past abortion and a woman. Is there a difference, and how so?
Well, men tend to sit on their grief, on any pain, actually. We're taught to be stoic and to carry on no matter what, or just to avoid it entirely and don't deal with it. And neither one of those works. For men who have lost a child to an abortion experience, they need to face what has been done. They'll find themselves quite often feeling very isolated, because they're withdrawing. And Satan wants that. Satan wants a man in this position to be isolated, because we belong in community. The church is a body of Christ. It's a huge community, and we're saved in community. We're like the herd of sheep, where there's the one sheep gets lost, and the 99 stay, and the shepherd goes and looks for that lost one.
Mm-hmm.
The reason he can feel safe having the sheep, the other 99 stay, is because there's safety in community. We support each other. We help each other. We watch each other's back. And it's the one who is isolated that needs the help. Satan wants you isolated under any circumstance, because he will say, first he'll say to you, there's nothing wrong with an abortion. So think of all the things you'll be able to do if you're not going to be a father. And then as soon as it happens, he says, oh, look what you did. Oh, you killed somebody. Man, that's bad, bad, bad. God's never going to forgive you for that. And, you know, that's a lie. He's the father of lies. So first of all, don't believe anything he says. That's the problem of isolation that men find themselves in. And then there's the sensation of being unforgivable, that they've done something that is terrible. And whether that's pushing for the abortion and then now regretting it because you realize what you've lost, or whether it's the situation of fighting it and not being able to make any difference because the deck is stacked against you, you know. And there's no fault really involved there, but men feel a certain bit of shame about losing that fight. Even though it's not a fair fight, they feel shame at not being able to rescue their child. And then there are the men who just acquiesce, who don't want the abortion, but are too afraid or powerless or just generally helpless to say anything about it. That was a situation I found myself in,
mm-hmm.
where I had trying to save a marriage that I thought was worth saving, I didn't stand up about it, didn't stand against it, didn't raise a finger. And that was a great source of shame for me for years and years. I mean, the abortion itself was bad enough, but compounded with a shame of absolutely no defense, completely spineless. And that helped me push it down. And then finally, we've got the men who feel, oh, what's the word I'm looking for here? We got isolated. We've got I'm sorry.
Let me ask you a question, and then perhaps that thought will come to you. And you know, it sounds to me like there's always some pursuit of some perceived good when a man or a woman chooses an abortion, right? In your case, you want to try to save a marriage. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah,
you can rationalize and say, this is what I'm trying to do, but then, you know, I've got to do this, you know, evil thing in order to try to save a marriage. Or somebody might say, gosh, I can't have a child right now because my career is on a great track and I really want this job. And so, and not to say that excuses the abortion in any sense, but it might make men and women realize that, you know, you were trying for something good, but that guilt that you feel now shows that, you know, it's time to come to grips with that. That decision you made was a lesser good. Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly. Because, you know, even though we know that God is the only one who can make good out of something bad or evil, the devil can take something good and twist it and make it evil, because a lot of it has to deal with intent. Now, if I was willing to kill my child in order to, you know, have a good paying job or status in my group or ability to follow a certain profession, that would be no better than taking a born child and throwing it into the fire for Moloch.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the same thing, and you're giving up your own child for what's basically a lie. I mean, the devil will make promises, and he'll keep them just enough to keep you on the hook. But the main thing is that Satan doesn't care if you worship him. That's why I laugh at the Church of Satan. It's just it's a ridiculous thing. And Satan laughs at the Church of Satan because he doesn't even like them. He doesn't care if you worship him as long as you do not worship God.
Mm-hmm.
And the abortion tends to gives people an excuse to worship themselves or their own ideals or their own needs and put that before life. And life, you know, God is the source and giver of life. And the third thing I was muddling trying to remember, it was a deep sense of loss. So you've got a sense of isolation, the feeling of being unforgivable, and then finally the sense of deep personal loss. There are men out there who are living with this every day, and some of them don't even connect with it. The loss, even if you're not thinking about it at any particular time, it still affects you. It's still churning inside of you. I mean, I lived with the idea that there was nothing wrong with abortion, even well after the abortion, but I felt awful about it. I was depressed. I was grieving. I was angry all the time, and I didn't know why, because I refused to connect it with the act of abortion. But, you know, you can't fool your soul.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fool your heart. And it just kept at me for years.
Yeah.
And with Project Joseph, we're trying to shortcut that for men. Men who have got this pain and stuff, there's no reason for them to go on for decades like I did, because there wasn't anybody for me to talk to. There wasn't a Project Joseph for me to sign up for and spend some time dealing with it. I don't want men to go through that. That's why we have offered Project Joseph, and that's why we've got one coming up next week.
Yeah, next weekend, March 7th and 8th, and it's at we won't necessarily give the location. I don't typically give the location. It's going to be in the Metroplex here in the DFW area. And Reg Platt is my guest, coordinator of Project Joseph of the Catholic Pro-Life Community. This is part of the Healing After Abortion ministry that Eileen Kuhlman leads so well. And if you are interested And even just asking questions about this retreat next week, or maybe you're thinking, okay, no, it's time for me to sign up. This sounds exactly like what I need. Reg's number for Project Joseph, 469-720-2273. 469-720-2273. That spells CARE at the end. 469-720-CARE. And I know there is another one coming up later on, August 29th through the 30th. There's also a Spanish Project Joseph, September 12th and 13th. But again, if this is resonating with you now, now is the time to call. And hopefully, you know, many of you will sign up and find the healing that God wants to give you. So the good news is that God is, you know, standing there ready to I think of that image of the door with the only a knob on one side, where God's standing on one side, Jesus is, but we have the knob. We have to open that door because Jesus isn't going to force us into anything. And so it's the responsibility of the person who needs the healing to go ahead and just open that door. And what will be the result? What have you seen from these retreats, Reg?
An overwhelming sense of peace descends on the men. Once they have reconciled themselves, once they've examined the wound that it's been inflicted, whether it was self-inflicted or inflicted on them, once they look at it and they deal with it and they understand their part in the decision of the abortion that wounded them, then they are able to move forward to repenting of their part of it. Because, you know, you can't be forgiven until you repent. You can't repent until you know you've done something wrong, and you can't know what you've done something wrong until you know what's wrong. So a well-formed conscience is really necessary for this. But with Project Joseph, we get the men to examine the wound, to cleanse it, to recognize what havoc it's caused in their lives, even when they don't realize it. Because it's something that doesn't go away, and it won't go away by itself. And then finally, we close that wound. We close that wound sacramentally. We have a priest who comes on the second day of the retreat. He gives confession, and he celebrates the Mass for that Sunday. And also we have a memorial service for the children that have been lost. See, we hope that when the man walks away, he realizes, number one, he's still a father, because abortion does not unfather a man. It just makes him the father of a dead child. But he's still a father nonetheless. And that child was ripped from him. And the relationship he's supposed to have with that child, which his body and his soul anticipated from the moment they knew that that child had been conceived. When that child is deliberately ripped, I mean, other miscarriages and things like that, they're tragedies, but they're not a deliberate act.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're involved in a deliberate act to end a child's life, there's a good bit of guilt involved in that, and, well, rightly so.
Let me ask you about there's a certain spectrum, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. where on one end, let's just say a man forces a girl to have an abortion, yeah. you know, and the girl doesn't want it, but he says, you're going to have this or I'm leaving you, or or even worse, right? That's one level. Then on the other level, and I think this pertains to at least one of your abortions, the man is firmly opposed to it. And the woman goes ahead and does it anyways. Those are a different kind of guilt, but talk about that, and maybe there's something in between, a mutual decision perhaps, maybe both, well, neither parents wanted it, but some outside force, like a parent or a grandparent said, no, you gotta do this. So to talk about that, does it make a difference what the circumstances are, or is the guilt the guilt?
There's different levels of culpability.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, the man who says, you know, you get this abortion or I'm leaving, or I'll beat it out of you. I mean, that has been unfortunately suggested by some people sometimes. They carry the greatest burden. And usually after they've had a chance to deal with it in their soul and in their conscience, that's what gives them the greatest regret, is that they forced this on someone who you can't force it on somebody who wants it, because so it would be put on somebody who didn't want it. And then the man who fights it and loses, he has to deal with he has no guilt in that same sense because he did the right thing. He stood up against it, but he still has the loss. He still has the shame he may feel in being defeated for something that he knew he wanted and needed to accomplish. There's different ranges of pain. Mine own was cowardice. My shame and my cowardice.
Mm-hmm.
I was just became just an accomplice to this murder. I abetted it, and that was the great shame on my pain. No defense is the same thing as an active killing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the poor guy who never even knows about it until it's over and done with.
Yeah,
the loss hits him the hardest. Because he has no guilt, because he didn't do anything. He had no chance to defend the child.
Yeah,
he just was told, and that all these need a chance to reflect on them, to understand what they mean. In his life, what they have done to his life since then, because this stuff keeps churning at the lower levels, whether you're thinking about it or not. Self sabotage is one of the aspects of what happens from it, and the pain is there for everybody.
Yeah,
and many men turn to drugs or alcohol, or just sexual escapades to try and fill that void, the void that should have been a child in their life.
Reg Platt is my guest. We're down to our last, 4 minutes, mm-hmm. and we got a lot to discuss. He is a coordinator of Project Joseph of the Dallas Diocese. If this is resonating with you and you would like to find healing, I love this that, you know, you don't have to wait 3 months or, you know, half a year. It's next weekend. I mean, so if you're listening right now and thinking, boy, this really is something I need, or maybe you're the friend or the spouse of somebody, of a man who does have a past abortion, and they have confided that in you, and you can go to them and say, hey, I heard something on the radio that I think may help you. I think the most important thing is this phone number, 469-720-CARE. C-A-R-E, 469-720-2273. That's the number to call. The next Project Joseph retreat is the 7th and 8th of March. Is that Friday, Saturday?
Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday, Sunday. You've already kind of explained a little bit about what's involved. I know you don't, you know, give everything away. But I'm thinking even the guy who's listening right now, and there's still a battle going on where, somebody may be saying, oh, you don't need this. That's ridiculous. The battle is real, isn't it? And so just maybe spend a minute or so, Reg, and just talk about it doesn't hurt to make that phone call. Even if you don't end up going on the retreat, at least talk to you, right? And just ask the questions that are on their mind.
Yeah. Well, I find that most men who do call, I've called because, they've made that's the hardest decision of all. The hardest part is reaching out and saying, I think I need help with this. And every man who's ever been on one of these retreats has started from that point. And I listen. Mostly what we do is we listen. Some of these men have never told their stories before, but it's told in complete confidence. We do not share this information. We do not share the identities of our retreatants. The only thing that we supply them with, besides a roof for a night and some square meals, is agape love, the mm-hmm. love we found through the Father and His forgiveness and love. There is no unforgivable sin. God will forgive a truly repentant sinner.
And it must be, you know, you've been through your own Project Joseph. You've healed mm-hmm. from your two past abortions. And it must be very gratifying for you to see other men have received the same kind of healing. The man that shows up on Saturday is really a different man than leaves on Sunday. And for you to be involved in this and to see the men receive the same kind of healing that you have received must be a real special feeling.
It is. It's a life-changing feeling for the retreatant.
Yeah.
They come in with despair and they leave with hope.
Yeah.
They come in with pain and they leave with a certain amount of joy. There is this joy in knowing now that they're connected with their child, that they know where their child is, in the bosom of Jesus. And that gives them the chance to redo their lives. They put on, like St. Paul says, you put on the new man.
Yeah.
When you've laid down the old man who has died to sin, and you become a new man based on the principles of Christ.
Well, Reg, thank you for coming in. We're out of time. I just have a little bit of time to give out that phone number again. Reg Platt has been my guest, coordinator of Project Joseph, the Dallas Diocese. Also thank Eileen and all the wonderful people that work with Rachel's Vineyard, which is for men and women who have retreats, either as couples or individuals. And I know there are some of those coming up as well. The phone number for the retreat next weekend, March 7th and 8th, or August 29th and 30th, but we really want to emphasize the one next weekend, 469-720-CARE, 469-720-2273. Please make that call. I think everything depends on it. There are spots available. Thank you very much, Reg.
You're welcome.
And this has been the interview of the week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Thank you for listening. If you have suggestions for future interviews, just email me, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. God bless you.
You're a man carrying a burden. It's so personal, so painful, that you're sure no one could understand. You may even feel that you don't have the right to grieve. You're not weak, and you're not alone, even if it feels that way. When anyone decides to end a pregnancy, so many other people are affected. Project Joseph understands. Retreats are March 7th through the 8th and August 29th through the 30th. Go to projectjosephdallas.org for information. We're here for you when you're ready.
Thank you for joining me today for this North Texas Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio in North Texas on KTH 910 AM to the east and KCPP 1140 AM to the west, and also our little 101.5 FM station in Cleburne that we don't want to forget about as well, and on the app and also on the live stream. If you want to go to grnonline.com, you can listen online. So there's a lot of different ways to listen to the GRN here in North Texas. And as always, I want to thank the folks who made this interview possible. And in this case, it's Tom and Micah Alden, who have been my contacts and liaisons with Worldwide Marriage Encounter for many, many years. And they recently emailed me and said, hey, there's a Worldwide Marriage Encounter experience coming up in April. It's going to be April 10th through 12th. And they said, we have newly minted leaders. Okay. And so our newly minted leaders are Adam and Cecile Griffin, and they are parishioners in Arlington at St. Vincent de Paul Parish and also St. Joseph's. I actually ran into them during car raffle season. They were so kind to buy some raffle tickets and just making this reconnection now. They are proud parents of three beautiful daughters who happen to be in the studio with us, ranging from, oh, they're 8, 6, and 5 years old. And Adam and Cecile have been married for 13 years, and they took their first encounter with Worldwide Marriage Encounter back in 2023, about 3 years ago. So that's some of the introductory information, and they are here in studio with me to talk about their own experience and also why you, dear listener who's listening right now, if you are married, whether you've been married for a month or 60 years, should prayerfully consider going on the encounter in April. So welcome to you both. Good to see you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dave, for having us.
Yeah, it's so cool to run into you, because I did see you at St. Joseph's in Arlington, and you guys were like the lectors that day, and came by and were kind enough to buy some raffle tickets. And sorry you didn't win the car, but...
I know. I'm a little sad about that, but yeah, it's okay.
You're not the only ones that didn't win, okay? I promise you. So tell us, just kind of a... Cecile, I'll go ahead and ask you this. What is Marriage Encounter? I want to get into y'all's personal story and how you got involved, but what's the elevator pitch of what is Worldwide Marriage Encounter, and maybe a little bit of the history of it? I understand it's been around for about 50 years now, right?
Right, yes. Yeah. So Worldwide Marriage Encounter I would say it's a mission-centered organization that is really catered around helping couples develop their toolkit in marriage, I think when all of us come into this sacrament, there are a lot of things that we have yet to learn, mm-hmm. have yet to experience. And a lot of that has to do with the skill set of how do I work and live alongside this other person and ultimately help them get to heaven. And so Worldwide Marriage Encounter is there to help support and develop couples in just adding to that toolkit and bringing them closer, not only to each other, but also to God, and really keeping the focus on what is a sacrament and what is God calling us to.
You know, it's really interesting because when Tom and Micah emailed me, they said of you two, they said their faith and love for each other is inspirational. And, you know, I'm thinking like, oh, yeah, of course, you know, you're going to say that. But I will say, and I told you this, you know, a few weeks ago when I saw you at St. Joseph, and I had no idea you were involved in Worldwide Marriage Encounter, but the love between the two of you impressed me. When y'all were up at the podium and you had your arms around you, it was palpable, and it did make a big impression. So it's so cool that this is all going full circle and seeing how this love that you have probably was very much influenced by your work in Worldwide Marriage Encounter. So, Adam, if you could go back, tell us a little bit about y'all's marriage, maybe how you met and the 13 years of marriage and, of course, the three beautiful daughters. What should we know about the two of you and your marriage?
It all started back in middle school. So we went to the same middle school and intermediate and high school and
here locally in North Texas?
Here locally, yeah. In Mansfield. And, okay. You know, we never talked, but after college, our friend circles kind of intersected, and we had opportunities to hang out with each other, and we're like, oh.
That is so cool.
She's pretty cool, you know? I'm going to get to know her a little bit
better. Were you in the same grade?
Yeah.
Same grade in grade school. Mm-hmm. But, you know, back then, it's all awkward and all that.
Right.
But
she sat behind me in biology, but she swears she doesn't
remember. I don't recall that.
You must have made a big impression.
You know, exactly.
Yeah.
So we got married, and we started having kids, and really, our marriage encounter was kind of an anniversary gift to each other. Like, hey, let's go do something new and interesting and take time for ourselves and in our marriage. And it's actually the first time we were away from our kids since.
Yeah, it's tough to do that. Well, let me ask you, recently I did an interview with a couple for RetroVi, mm-hmm. and that is by definition marriages that are struggling, and marriages in some cases are on the brink of divorce. Mm-hmm. And I always make the distinction when I interview RetroVi couples and say, this is not a Worldwide Marriage Encounter, this is a different thing. So, Cecile, in y'all's case, it doesn't sound like there were... I don't know. May you tell me, were there issues that y'all were thinking like, we need to go on this and just kind of maybe smooth out a few things, a few rough patches? Or was it a good marriage that needed to get better? Wow. What was the state of your marriage, you know, when you went, let's just say 3.5 years ago while you were discerning going on the marriage encounter?
Well, so how I think how Adam would describe our relationship is that since we became friends, because we were friends before we ever dated, mm-hmm. we have been the best of friends, and we continue to be the best of friends. At no point were we in a place where we would say this is dire straits, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think there just came a point in marriage that even though 90% of the time things were going great, over time we started realizing that there were things that were conversational minds, like things that we, out of a misguided sense of politeness, maybe, didn't want to rock the boat, didn't mm-hmm. want to touch those things. And could we get along by just kind of going around? Yes, we could have.
Yeah.
We could have survived that way.
And we did for many years, I think.
Did.
You know, we learned those things that were, oh, you know, last time we tried to talk about this, it didn't go so great. So, you know, let's not
kind of brush it under the rug.
Exactly.
So which gets the point. I've got four bullet points I'd like to talk about. And one of them, it seems like, is so important and many, many couples struggle with is just communication.
Yeah.
You know, it might not be like what you're talking about, Cecile. It might not be a bad marriage, but mm-hmm. you either, let's not go there, or you're not spending time together. You're not, you know, you may be living, you know, lives where you're just not really, no big fight. But you're not seeing each other very much. So communication is something that, from my understanding, is part of this weekend. You will have time to talk to your spouse about important topics. Is that right? Either you want to elaborate on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's, communication is so important. And the weekend is about communicating with your spouse and learning new tools to help you do that. And just a focus on building that intimacy between husband and wife. And as far as the communication go on the weekend, it's not, this isn't a counseling program. There's no open sharing where you're talking in front of other people. It's really about you and your spouse having time alone outside the busyness and craziness of life to focus on your relationship and deepen it in ways maybe haven't experienced before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about some of the specific things that are often talked about. Normally, when I talk to anybody, I've done a lot of interviews with marriage counselors, and there's the big three, and I know we have little ears in the room, so I'll kind of code one of these, but let's just say relations, in-laws, and finances. Those tend to be big ones. Are these kind of things, specific things brought up in a weekend like this where you're going to say, y'all need to talk about these things? And how so?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some major subjects in a relationship that we're going to encounter in our marriage. And the great thing about the weekend, it's facilitated by three couples and a priest. And there's a series of presentations in which they talk about a lot of these subjects in their life. And they frame it in a way that's really relatable and helps illustrate to the couples attending the weekend, how we can apply these tools in our everyday life for these common things that we all face.
I know that this is a Catholic retreat, a Catholic experience, I guess you could say, a worldwide marriage experience encounter, but it's not open. It's open to non-Catholics as well. So right. Are there Catholic elements? You mentioned the priest. Is it opportunities for confession? Is there going to be mass? How Catholic are these encounters?
There are definitely opportunities to receive the sacraments. And we do talk about marriage in the context of that it is a sacrament.
Yeah.
And how are we called to live that out? So there is that, but it is open to people of all different backgrounds. We've had people of all different backgrounds come, and we have family and friends who are not Catholic who have attended, mm-hmm. and they reported that it was a turning point in their relationship, that there were things that they got that were concrete tools that they still use to improve their relationship today.
I know when I talked to the Retrovi folks, they said that almost all the time when couples come, in that case, one couple wants to come and one doesn't. I mean, I'm sorry, one person of the couple does mm-hmm. and one doesn't. But I'm sure even with marriage encounter, this is a similar dynamic. And I'm guessing more often, and maybe I'm being stereotypical, it's the guy who's dragging his feet and he's busy and he's got his, he needs to mow the yard on the weekend or watch football games. Talk about that. Is that a dynamic? Is it often one of the couple that's more eager than the other? And what's your advice?
I'd say that's pretty common. For me, I feel like my tendency is maintain the status quo. It's what I know. It's what I'm comfortable with. And the weekend is something new and, unfamiliar. And so, yeah, there is the kind of the hesitancy that you can see in a couple. And, I feel like I was thinking about it, time on the weekend. Your marriage is one of the most important things in your life, and it deserves attention. And the world is trying to put all these other things for us, like in our lives to distract us and take our focus away from each other. Like you said, kind of like passing ships sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Ships passing in the night, right?
Exactly.
We are speaking about Worldwide Marriage Encounter. WWME.org is the website. That's the big website. There is a Worldwide Marriage Encounter weekend coming up April 10th through 12th. My guests are the newly minted leaders encounter leaders for Dallas, Fort Worth, and East Texas. That's a pretty big region. Their names are Adam and Cecile Griffin. They have been married for 13 years, and their first encounter was back in 2023. They have since presented twice. So when you present, Cecile, I'm guessing you give a bit of your testimony, right? So what are maybe some of the highlights when you do present? What do you tell people about your own story and maybe how Worldwide Marriage Encounter has blessed your marriage? We talked about this a little bit already, but what are some of the other things that you say to try to encourage these couples to start communicating with each other more?
I think one of the most powerful things about any and all of the sharing that the couples will hear on the weekend is that we're all very open with what God's done for us in our lives, with whether it's we're sharing the hills or the valleys, right? Mm-hmm. And so seeing that arc of growth there, right? That the story is never over. We can always grow. We can always improve. That's a powerful part of the sharing. One of the things that I really enjoy sharing about that was really a light bulb moment for me is different listening patterns that we have within our communication, that when the listening pattern is not a healthy listening pattern, it can really impact the quality of communication in a relationship. And it really prompted me to do some deep reflection on what are the things that I tend to do, whether it's formulate my own response or maybe listen in a distracted manner. Mm-hmm. Like as a homeschool mom, you know, Sometimes I'm trying to juggle way too many balls at the same time. And if my husband's trying to get my attention, to share something important to him with me, how best can I listen to him and honor what it is that he has to share?
Yeah, very nice. And the location for this, where is it going to be? Is it going to be in Arlington or where?
Irving.
Irving, mm-hmm. Okay. And the typical cost, you told me before we started this, is $200 per couple. But you have a promo code mm-hmm. that people listening right now want to go to. Tell us how people register and how they use that promo code.
So to find the upcoming weekends, you can go to wwme.org/apply. And like you said, we're running a Linton discount code right now. It's Lent 2026, and that's for $50 off an application fee.
Okay. And am I right that there's not group sharing at these? The sharing is between the couple. You're not going to get into a circle and tell your story. Is that right? Unless, of course, you're a presenter, then that's a different situation. But am I right that the most, if not all, the communication is going to be between the couples? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. There is, there's presentations that are done where everybody's all together, and then couples split off and go back to their rooms to practice the tools mm-hmm. that they're learning about throughout the weekend. So there's a lot of time is spent just the two of you alone.
Mm-hmm. One statistic I saw on the website, wwme.org, is that 9 in 10 couples who attend a marriage encounter recognize long-lasting positive effects in their lives. Tell me about, I'm guessing this is like Friday evening until Sunday, right? Tell me, Cecile, what maybe some anecdotal stories of what you've seen, the couples coming in Friday night and then leaving on Sunday, and you're like, wow, you seem like a different couple. You probably see that all the time, don't you? Or they tell you, this has meant so much to me. Can you tell us a few of the anecdotes about that and what you experienced in those 48 hours?
Right. A lot of times, like you mentioned earlier, there might be one half of the couple that is a little less sure about them being there on Friday night. And we've helped with check-in a number of times. And that's totally normal, totally natural. But to see the dramatic change from Friday night check-in to Sunday, when couples are just
on cloud nine.
They are on fire mm-hmm. with love, not just for each other, but with God. Like, just, you can tell that there's been a recentering there, mm-hmm. That a hope has been sparked within them, that the tools that we've been shown and that we've been applying, you know, and getting that practice in, we feel confident that we can leave here and continue to use these things. And that these things will make a lasting impact, not only on our marriage, but to our families, you know? And that's something that we really appreciated about the experience is the tools aren't just for the two of us. It has impacted our family culture in ways that we can never express enough gratitude for.
Mm-hmm. Let me talk about the two extreme situations in marriages. I mentioned retrovi. There may be some people listening right now thinking, you know what, our marriage is so bad right now that I don't even think a marriage encounter is going to work out. Maybe I need to go to retrovi, right? So that's one category. There may be some other people saying, you know what, our marriage is great. We're communicating. Everything's good. I don't know that we need to do something like this. Talk about that. Is this for everybody? Can you think of a couple that their marriage, they may think their marriage is so good that they would need something like this, or it can bless every marriage.
No, we say every couple deserves the gift of a weekend. This is for the everybody, the people who are doing well, the people who fight about where to go for dinner. Like, I mean, this is not, you know, for troubled marriages at all. This is for everybody. Everybody's going to walk away from a weekend better than they came in with tools that they'll can continue to use for the rest of their lives.
How has it helped you be better parents? Maybe I should ask the kids this, but no, I won't bring that. I won't bring them in. How you know, because obviously the relationship between the couple is going to reverberate or, you know, kind of help the kids. But has it helped you as a mother?
Well, one of the really impactful tools that we learned is asking for forgiveness rather than just saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And we did not even realize that we had that pattern of speech in our vocabulary. And when we made the switch of, oh, when I ask for forgiveness, I put myself in a position of humility. Mm-hmm. I am asking something of you. And I am here ready to accept whatever it is that you're going to grant me, right? And when Adam and I changed how we approach apologies with one another, we noticed that our children fell into the same pattern. They followed along with it. And so in our household, one of the things is that you will hear people ask for and grant forgiveness. Mm. And I am so thankful for that.
Well, thank you for that. I'm guessing that the biggest reason people don't go on something like this is because we're too busy. How can we possibly go away? Or we got kids and I don't know where the kids would go. Or maybe I can't afford it. So knock down some of the objections, especially that first one. I'm just too busy. We've got too much going on weekends. What would you say to that, Adam?
Make the time. The time spent on the weekend and the investment that you're going to put into that is worth it, and it's going to pay in dividends that you don't even know and can't see yet. That's what God's done in our marriage through this experience. There's been so many things that have flowed from our weekend.
Yeah.
And we had no idea. We thought we were going to go to a weekend and have margaritas and, you know.
There's no margaritas? Wait, come on.
We joke. The weekend wasn't what we had expected,
yeah.
But
okay.
It was what we needed.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Well, we're down to our last couple minutes, and I just want to remind everybody, Adam and Cecile Griffin are the newly minted leaders of Worldwide Marriage Encounter in Dallas-Fort Worth and also East Texas. Big thanks to Tom and Micah Alden, who are the previous leaders. And if you want to apply for this upcoming weekend, April 10th through 12th, go to wwme.org/apply, and I'm sure there's a place where you can very easily pick the one that's going to be in Irving, Texas on that weekend. There will be others, I'm sure, this year, but, you know, we still got enough time to go to that one. wwme.org/apply. And again, this is 9 out of 10 couples say that this really, really benefited their marriage. So got 2 minutes. Just want to kind of open it up. What else would you like to say to our listeners to encourage them to go ahead and take that plunge, get on that website and sign up? And also that promo code LENT2026, $50 off the $200 cost. So that's a pretty good discount. But what else would you like to say?
Well, I think one of the things that has really guided us on this journey with Marriage Encounter is that excerpt from the letter of Sister Lucia de los Santos, one of the Fatima visionaries, where she said that the final battle between Satan and the kingdom of God would be over marriage and the family.
Yeah.
And we feel so awake to that reality that there is really, truly a battle being waged around us. And we feel that couples being willing to pour into their marriages, really make it a priority by investing that time, is one of the ways that we can engage in the battle and fight for, you know, God's kingdom. So we're just really true believers in the value of it. And we know also what it's done for our marriage and for our family. So we're very thankful.
Well said. Thank you very much. Out of time, but I'm sure you just say a big amen to everything that she just said. Adam, thank you very much. Adam and Cecile Griffin, leaders of Worldwide Marriage Encounter. If you want to apply for this upcoming Worldwide Marriage Encounter, which is going to be the weekend of April 10th through 12th in Irving, WWME.org/apply. And don't forget about the promo code Lent2026. That'll give you $50 off. I hope many, many people listening today will take advantage of that. Thanks to Cecil Anderson for running the board. And thank you for listening. If you have suggestions for future interviews, you can email me, as Tom and Micah did, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. You've been listening to the North Texas Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. God bless you and have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks for joining us for this week's KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Catholic news and information pertinent to North Texas Catholics. Please join us again next week at this same time for another KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week.
Our GRN sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to join UDallas for Arete, an Introduction to the Classics. In this two-week, all-inclusive summer program, students earn 3 hours of college credit, experience life on UD's Irving campus, and consider what it means to live nobly. Learn more at udallas.edu/arete. That's udallas.edu/arete.
Experience God's healing grace at a healing mass this Lent. The healing mass will take place on Thursday, March 5th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Prince of Peace Catholic Church in Plano. The evening includes praise and worship, inviting you into a spirit of hope and renewal. Prayer teams will be available to pray with you for special intentions. The sacrament of the anointing of the sick will also be available. All are welcome to attend and encounter the profound love and mercy of Christ.
Families from 30 different zip codes from throughout the Dallas area provide their children the Catholic classical education uniquely offered at Mount St. Michael Catholic School. A classical education respects the natural development of the child, grounds students in the tools of learning so as to delve more deeply into the content and expands the child's understanding of what is authentically good, true, and beautiful. To learn more, visit our website, msmcatholic.org.
Thanks for listening to KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth, and North Texas. Catholic radio for your soul on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Heard also at grnonline.com and on your smartphone.
I wouldn't be the spouse. I wouldn't be the father.